Claire is, among other things, a spiritual director and has been taking a course in Ignatian spirituality and all kinds of things that are just so appropriate for here at the start of Advent. So I'm looking forward to hearing from you today and give her feedback.
Yes, help me to grow. Thank y'all. I know it might look odd. Typically, when you see me up here, I have another person with me, and he's a whole lot taller than I am. But this was a message that God had been just really working with me on, and he's like, yeah, I don't want to. I was like, okay. So, Michael, you want me? And he said, yes. So this might, for some of you, I know you better than others, and for some of you, this might be sort of a surprise. You see me up here married, doing all the things up here, and you might assume, okay, she's been doing this Anglican thing for a long time, and she's really comfortable with it. For those of you who know me better, you know, I was kind of a slow adopter into this Anglican way. When we first started visiting an Anglican church, it may be like some of you. I know some of you actually sought out an Anglican church, but some of you may have started coming because you just kind of liked the people. And that's where we were in the first Anglican church that we were a part of. We liked the people, and they happened to be Anglican. So I was doing pretty well with this different thing. The collar was an adjustment for me. That was new. Wasn't used to that. About 4 months in, it was this Sunday in 2014. It was the first Sunday in Advent, and I walked in. And that church, we weren't sharing with another church, so we didn't have all the Christmas stuff. It was very blank. And I grew up in a tradition where you would have hung the greens and the garlands, and as soon as the dishes went into Thanksgiving, you know, after Thanksgiving, as soon as they went to the dishwasher, you popped out the Christmas stuff. I mean, that was what I was used to, and that was the church I was used to being in. But this one, they didn't have any of that. And it was very somber. And there were no Christmas carols. And I was like, what the heck, you know? I don't know that I like this. I just didn't get it. And I'm sure it was explained well for me, but for whatever reason, I was pretty shut down about Advent. Another friend of ours in that particular church, also an Anglican church, the pastor came down really heavy, really on the topic that we're going to talk about today, on the idea that Advent is a time of preparing for Christmas. And part of it is doing a lot of soul searching and examining what's going on inside. How much the pastor came down this heavy, or my friend heard it this way, but he kind of came out of there like, okay, I can't do this, I can't do that, we're not supposed to have Christmas decorations, and he sort of went to the other extreme. And he honestly became a little bit depressed about Advent and Christmas. So as I started looking at the scriptures, y'all have already heard them, they're not light scriptures. They're not easy. Maybe this is why Chris said, no, you do it. I don't know. But I've been thinking, how can we lean into a different way of Advent that can embrace this self-examination and the quiet of the space, but not lose all of our hope and joy? Here's my prayer for us today, that each of us will take one step into leaning forward, into a different way of preparing. I'm going to invite you into three words for today: anticipation, preparation, and hope-filled waiting. When we switch to a different way of doing Christmas, called Advent, rather than it be a letdown, this might be a respite for some of us. You know, for some of us, we just love the excitement of getting ready. We love all the decorations, we love the family gatherings, and the food, and the hoop-da-da, and we love it. That was the tradition I came out of. And none of those are bad things. Please hear me, I'm not asking us to be like my dear friend who kind of came out of this with this idea of we all have to dress in sackcloth, and ashes and tinsel will not be seen until December 24th. That's not what we're going for either. But for some of us, leaning into a quieter way of Advent might be a little bit of relief. Now, I'm not talking just about the difference between sort of a Buddy the Elf versus the Grinch. I always kind of felt sorry for the Grinch, because honestly, we know why was he the way he was. Come on. His heart was too small. But why? What? Nobody loved him. What made his heart so small? Yeah, honestly, if I'm truly honest, sometimes I can be a little grinchy. My grinchiness might come out of stress, anxiety. For some of us, we may have just gotten some rather bad news, and it's really hard to be up for Christmas when we're dealing with hard, heavy things. For some of us, life may just not be turning out like we'd hoped, and so the happy, happy, joy, joy is just not there. So what I would invite us to for this Advent is a space where everyone kind of has a place at the table. For those of us who have this great joy, yes, and for those of us who might be struggling a little bit more. It's a place where we can really come as we are, not just at where we're pressured to be, or at least feel like we're supposed to be. Advent's a place where God's going to meet us and invite us into something better. So what is Advent? How many of you grew up in a tradition that really all Advent all day? Okay, we have 4, 5, 6. Okay. This is good. So what is Advent? Some of you may already know. Advent, the root of the word, is Latin for Adventus, and that means the idea of coming, of entering in. And the reference is both Jesus coming into the world, but also of the second coming. There's another word that I really like that connects with Advent. It's the word adventure. There's a book, it's a classic book. I'm not going to get into all the nerdy backstory. Michael said, that's too much, Claire, cut that part. So I did. Anyway, if you want to talk about it later, let's talk. So, but in the story is the story of King Arthur. And I love Arthur, absolutely love it. The Knights of the Round Table have this quote that just really caught me, and I was reading it in a book about Advent. I said, yeah, that's it. They say, let us take the adventure that God sends us. And so I'm going to invite you into an adventure today, wherever you find yourself. Take a few minutes. Come, taste, and see that even in anticipation or even in pain, Advent can be a good thing for all of us. The first step on our adventure, sorry, I couldn't help that, is the idea of anticipation. Look with me, if you go ahead and open up your bulletin, we're going to be leaning into the scripture pretty heavy, and I'm actually going to touch on all of them, so be ready for this. Start with me at the Isaiah passages. It says, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills. All the nations will stream to it. Many people will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we can walk in his paths. You get this idea of anticipation, of entering into something. Now, there's a tradition. Also, looking at the psalm, there's a second entering in. Look at the psalm passage for just a minute. I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates. Do you see kind of a similar theme in both of them? The idea of entering in. Someone else had picked up on the idea of loving your neighbor, and we're going to get there. But before we do that, we're going to enter in. So we have this idea of entering in. Now, I love this image, particularly in the psalm. If you look with me at the back, just pivot your heads back, and look at that doorway right there. You see where you enter in. There's a clear demarcation between there's the wood and the hall, and then there's the carpet. In the Benedictine tradition, the monks, as they would come in to pray, would stop on that threshold for just a minute. They would take a pause. They would linger. And it's almost as if they were waiting for the busyness of the day to settle in and to step in. That idea of pausing at this threshold, this kind of in-between time, is what we're doing in Lent. I mean, in Advent, it is sort of like a mini Lent. But we're in between times. We're in between the time of Jesus having come for the first time and looking towards the second coming. As we enter into Advent, I'm going to invite you to linger at the threshold for just a minute. In our Isaiah passage, the prophet Isaiah shares that what God has revealed to him. One of you noted that one of the prophecies was that there would be no more war. Can you imagine what kind of good news that would have been like? No more war. Think about it just for a minute for yourself. What would it look like for there to be no more war? Literally, international peace. Now, even back then, this was good news for Judah because they had been constantly caught up in war. It goes on to say, he will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. What a beautiful image. Isaiah paints this picture that gave the Israelites hope. They were anticipating a future where not just they, but entire nations, all the nations, would turn to God. For those of us who might be facing down the holidays with not quite exciting or as positive an outlook, you can kind of lean into that. Exactly where Judah may have been. There's a place for you in this Advent adventure. Advent provides a quiet space of trusting that God is faithful. He's true to his word, and that's what the Israelites were believing. The way of healing and wholeness that Isaiah foretold was twofold. First of all, he was telling us about Jesus coming into the world. Yes, that. And he also told about a second coming. He was giving us a hint. In the first coming, when Jesus came in, he came to earth to model. What did it look like to live? How was Jesus inviting us to live? Jesus taught us, and he also came to die for us. Do y'all have the Matthew 24 printed, or did you just hear that? You do have it? Look at the Matthew 24 with me for a minute. Fairly far down in there, Jesus communicates about his second coming. He's telling us to get ready. Now, I have to tell you, at times when I would read that as a kid, it kind of sounded a little scary. Now, I don't know if it was having listened to too many Left Behind books. Yes, those of you who are of my generation, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I don't know whether it was that or just this idea of a thief coming in. Listen to what it says. It says, but about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect. So somewhere between the Fear of the Left Behind series and that particular passage, I became to be kind of afraid when I would hear about the second coming. I didn't hear it as good news. But here's the deal. I've grown up since then, good thing, and I've realized that when we're trusting Jesus, it's not scary. This is a time of hope. It really is good news. What Jesus is communicating, not that we need to be afraid, but we do need to be prepared. He will be faithful to come, and he's going to bring healing and hope. So for all of us who enter into Advent, kind of going, phew, thank goodness, maybe church will be a quiet space. Yeah, it is. But there's also healing and hope in the midst of the quiet. We can anticipate great good. There's going to be a righting of wrongs, healing, no more pain or tears. We're to prepare and to be ready for something next. So the first part is that anticipating, both anticipating Jesus is coming the first time and the second time, but then he moves into preparation. So what does it look like to prepare? Chris, can you hand me my water bottle? I'm about to dry out up here. Anyway, I am prepared. But think about it. When you're preparing for someone to come visit, what do? Talk to me. Clean your toilet. Yes. Spoken by someone who has little boys in the house. And big boys and women too. Whatever. All right. Clean the toilet because, let's face it, that needs to be done. What else? I heard a B word. Bake. Baking. Baking. So we're cleaning. We're baking. What else do you do when you're preparing for someone? Make beds with clean sheets. Yeah. You're getting ready. And that's part of Advent as well. So there's anticipation, but there's also preparing. When we think of someone coming, we do prepare. We clean up. And depending on who it is, if it's me, I may prepare more for some people than others. Most of you, I probably don't know quite well enough, and so I will clean up a little bit more for you than I will for just my daughter coming. However, we all do something to prepare. And see, this is what Advent is about. It's about preparing. We're called to prepare for Jesus' coming in a similar kind of way, to open our hearts. If you were here for a few weeks ago when Michael spoke on brokenness, the idea of healing, he started us, set us up really well for this particular sermon, because he talked about the idea of something that was broken. Does anybody remember what the definition? If something's broken, it's just not working. I've listened to it more recently than you have. The way it should be, yeah. When we look at our own lives, are there parts of it that aren't quite working the way they might should be? Somewhere between thinking through preparation and hoping for healing is where we're landing today. The author of Romans, Paul, tells us how we are to live. Look over at the Romans passage for just a minute. How are we invited to live? Talk to me. Don't sneak around at night doing a bunch of sneaky things. I don't think they're just talking about egging houses there. Maybe some of that, but part of it. But what else? How are we called to live in the Romans passage? Love, yeah. We are to love. It's following the law of love, to love one another. He goes through the basics of the commandments. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Paul continues, the hour has already come for you to wake up. This is where we're getting into the night stuff. To wake up from our slumber, because salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently in the daytime, not in carousing and dark and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. It really caught my attention when I was reading over this, and there were several commentaries that made the point about the idea that, yes, he talks about the stuff in the dark, but dissension and debauchery, fussing, jealousy, are those all the same? Apparently, they are things we're to consider. Our preparation and our healing in Advent is going to be as much about the attitudes of our heart as it is about the actions in the dark. I'm going to say that again. I'm going to invite you in just a minute to look at what are the attitudes of your heart, and also what are the things that happen in the dark. This is kind of stepping on my toes. Honestly, I had to live through this before I preached it, and it was a little painful. And I was like, yeah, Michael, I really don't want to do this. Why don't you do this? You know, I tried to give it away. But it's something that we all have to look at. Advent gives us a chance, just like with Lent, to look at what's going on inside of us. I'm going to take a few minutes and invite you into a little bit of preparation just right now. A little bit of spiritual house cleaning. I'm not going to ask you to clean toilets, but I am going to invite you. You're welcome to close your eyes if comfortable, or just stare off in the distance, or you can stare at me. But go into that place in your mind where you're just thinking about where you are. Here's the beautiful thing about this kind of house cleaning. You're not doing it by yourself. God wants to meet us in our untidy and broken places and bring healing. For some of this can be uncomfortable because we're afraid of God seeing our dirt. But in Zephaniah 3, we hear of a God who delights over us with singing. So imagine with me for just a minute that a God who's crazy about you, and he wants to sit with you and help you to do a little bit of house cleaning, maybe just walking through the house for a moment and exploring, where are there places where you're not fully living out the law of love? And whether it's because of what's going on inside of you, your thoughts and your attitudes, or even in your actions, where could you grow in your capacity to love? Could God be inviting you towards some healing? Just sit with that for a moment. Matthew 24 calls us to be ready, for we don't know the hour that the second coming will be. But how do you respond to what you noticed in the quiet? For some of us, it might be, oh, this 3 o'clock hour of church is really hard and I want to fall asleep, and that's okay, I do get it. And yet for some of us, there may have been something very specific that came to mind and heart. I know it did for me. So how do we respond here? For some of us, we may have just had a sense of peace. It's like, yeah, I'm not really sure. So I'm not asking for you to try to dig into the corner and figure out, okay, where's the least little bit? But if there is something that came to mind, I want you to ponder for just a moment. First of all, be grateful that the Holy Spirit is at work inside of you. For some of us, we may be invited to focus on abiding and deepening our relationship with God. But what if you realize that there needed to be a little bit more house cleaning than you have the capacity to get into right now? What if you need sort of a deep soul clean? If that's you, or if you've never even leaned into God or admitted your need for Him, perhaps you've drifted away. If that is you, there's going to be time in a few minutes before we do the prayers as a people. Actually, after we do the prayers of people, Michael is going to lead us into a really in-depth reflection. And I'm going to challenge you to listen. And when we do the confession, make those words your own. When we ask God to forgive us, here's the good news, He does. The beauty of confession every week is we say those words, we make them our own, and then the priest stands up here and says, you're forgiven. Not because I'm the priest, but because God says so. That's the good news that we're leaning into for Advent. The last part, so we're anticipating, and that it's a good thing, it's not a scary thing. We're preparing, and we're waiting with hope. How many of you love waiting? You just love to wait. How many of you have a microwave? That tells me something. The final leg is waiting. We anticipate, we prepare, and then we wait. Remember that idea of the monks? What did they do at the threshold? They waited. They linger for just a moment. Waiting has this sense that we've done all we can. And then we wait. So how do you wait well? You wait with Jesus. Advent's going to give you an opportunity, if you'll take it, to spend extra time with Jesus. There are some amazing devotionals and guides, and I am assuming there's probably going to be resources listed out there on whatever communication sources. I thought there would be. But talk to these guys. They have great resources. We have some good resources, too. But if you're not sure how to spend extra time with God, talk to us. We'd be glad to share. As we put our hope in Jesus, know that he is faithful and he will mend whatever came up in that quiet moment. He will bring healing and hope. The one who loves you dearly is looking forward to arriving at your home. It's a difference between waiting that sounds like a threat and waiting that sounds like hope, knowing something good is coming. This is the Advent that God has set before us. And here's the question. Will you join us in the adventure?